Hi, listening friend. Welcome to the Monday edition of Mark and Friends. It's October 28th, 2013. Four special guests in the studio with me, and wow, what a weekend of activities. Yesterday I was at the Mattis Avenue Free Methodist Church for their building dedication. Great service with Pastor Herb and Cheryl Coates. They were on a trip to Israel with me a few years ago. Just love Pastor Herb and his wife Cheryl. Great example of marriage and passion for God's Word. And in fact, Herb, I think I mentioned this a couple years ago, recited the whole Sermon on the Mount, the very words of Jesus, that Matthew 5, 6, and 7, on the Mount of Beatitudes. And he kind of acted it out or role-played it, had it all memorized. And has a special place in my heart, just a great pastor. And we pray God will use the Mattis Avenue Free Methodist Church to expand his kingdom power, glory, and influence in our area. And so many other activities on Saturday. I had a number of friends over. We had a cookout and a big fire. They got to walk the nature trail and be in the tree fort, so a lot of fun. I'm still eating leftovers from that. But in the studio, you'll be familiar with one of the guests, because his name is Elmer Zules, and he was featured on Mark and Friends about, I guess, 2 months ago, and he shared some of his faith story and journey and love story. He attends the Friendship Lutheran Church of Joy on the south end of Champaign, over towards the airport. Well, he's joined by his wife, Gail. They live in the Mohammed area, and about 2 or 3 weeks back, they said, we're going to have some missionary friends in. Their names are Rodney and Melinda Heinrichs. They've served the Lord in various capacities in many different ways over the years, I think over 50 years. In fact, on Saturday night after I had my event at the homestead, I carted over to their house with a friend, Holly, and her daughter, Esther, and we had another dinner and talked for a couple hours, I think, over some of the mission work that they've been involved with. Rodney's pastored and served for over 50 years, and so we're going to have Elmer introduce them, and then we're going to tie it all together, because Gail has her own story of learning to be a sender and how it all fits together and how God has created this tapestry with a heart for people. And we're going to talk about the ministry of reaching the unreached, something that God calls us all to be a part of, reaching those that don't know the gospel message and the love of God. So I'm already thinking that this is going to probably take 2 days of broadcast, because there's a lot of God-honoring stories. Over dinner on Saturday night, we told story after story after story on how God works through common circumstances to incredible, only God could show up in miraculous ways. So anyways, we got a lot to say. So Elmer, this is a couple that you've supported and have known for some years, you and Gail. So how about introducing Rodney and Melinda to our Great News Radio listening family?
Thank you, Mark. These are a couple that we met back in the 1990s. It's Rodney Heinrichs and his dear wife, Melinda. They are, at the present time, heading up Reaching the Unreached Ministries. Reaching the Unreached Ministries is a ministry using native missionaries in Ghana, Africa, and also in India to spread the word of God to the unreached people, people that have never heard of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. And I know when I met you, Rodney, over dinner, Rodney and Melinda, I thought, where is a globe? You started mentioning so many different countries that you've served and helped and assisted in. Sometimes it's teaching the missionaries that are on site, the indigenous people that are living there. Sometimes it's just being an encouragement. Amen. Or a curriculum or a development or church planning. God's had his hand on you, I guess, for many years and has used you to help assist in planning churches and 50-plus years of serving. What, married 52, 53 years,
52
I think?
52 years.
So we best start with the most important thing is you honoring your wife of these many years. So introduce her to everyone, and then I'm going to tie it all in with Gail's story. So how about introducing Melinda to our radio listening family?
Thank you, Mark. It's good to be with you and the Great News Radio family. I met her about 55 years ago. I was going to Wartburg College. I knew I was going to be a pastor. I felt that call when I was 15. So I started praying for a pastor's wife. I knew that I need to have a special wife. So I was praying. And then I met Melinda. And she's been the joy of my life. And she's gone with me all the trips. I never go alone.
I think you also were telling me she's written a book, and there's something about the importance of a good wife. We were talking about this,
right?
How she's been, if you will, a backbone and yet a prayer warrior and yet somebody that's supported you. And really, ministry work is integral in all parts of your life and how foundational she's been for you.
Right. Ministry work is teamwork, and my wife has been a great part of the team. Yeah, she's written a couple of books, Guard Your Heart, Bless Your Home, which is how a woman can be able to bring Christ into the home more fully. And another book on Tell Them I Know Them by Name, 20 years of stories of traveling to different nations to share Jesus where they haven't heard of him.
You left out is you were a salesperson. You're in college. You're working towards seminary. You got to make some money on the side. So you took on this position of selling pots and pans, I believe.
Pots and pans, Lustercraft. And she was my first sales call. And on the first call, she knew what she wanted, and I didn't know my product very well. I've never cooked, so that's not my forte. But she's excellent at cooking, so she knew what she wanted. She wanted stainless steel, and I was selling aluminum. But I didn't know the difference between the two in cooking.
Mm-hmm. And Melinda, this is 53, 55 years ago. So this guy shows up. You're at this point a teacher. You're certified, I think. And this guy's trying to sell some things. Was it love or affection? Or you're thinking, I'm intrigued by this individual.
No. I had a roommate, and we just really took advantage of what he didn't know. And we just had a hilarious time as he tried to sell us a product that we knew we didn't want.
And then when did you kind of meet up, or when did you start saying, you know, I kind of like this guy? Was there a courtship period of time, or was it like a year and a half later that
you...
It
was about a year and a half. I was very shy and afraid to ask girls, so that was kind of a blessing for me, so that I didn't gallivant around.
Sure.
But about a year and a half later, I called her up, and we started dating.
Now, were you both believers at this point in your faith journey?
Yes.
Yes, we were both born into Christian homes, and so...
Love the Lord.
Love the Lord all the time.
And you, as you mentioned, you felt the calling around the age of 15. So were there people pouring into you, like that calling for a 15-year-old? I mean, that's huge. So how did you know that you know, were your parents or who was directing you? Did you see missionaries show up at the church or...
Well, we did have missionaries show up at the church. Usually we'd have somebody from Africa every year or New Guinea. But we also had confirmation, a three-year course, and I loved the pastor and learning the Bible. And so during that time, I just felt that I was called to be a pastor.
Mm-hmm. 15 years of age. And I'm thinking there's some younger listeners tuned in, and they might even have a stirring in their heart, I think, after today and tomorrow's broadcast to reach an unreached people group. And how much later after that point of 15 when you connected with, I'm going to pray for this specific people group, and then saw God opening up some doors of opportunity for you to move forward?
Right. That was 1990. I knew that there were still 6,000 tribes in the world that hadn't heard about Jesus. So the Lord called me to pray for the church to be a house of prayer for all nations about 30 years before that. And so I did a lot of praying, and I said, Lord, if you give me a name of a tribe, I will pray for that tribe to know you. And so it was 91 that I heard about the Banjara tribe in India, and I've been praying for 22 years for them.
22 years. Now, Melinda, obviously the salesman that came to your place, I always like to work on the love story. You know, you and your roommate are having fun kind of because he doesn't know his product, and you're delighting in embarrassing him maybe to some degree. But where were you in your faith journey? And then when he finally got around to asking you out and then to be married, did you know you might be marrying a future pastor, somebody that wanted to serve the Lord? And was God preparing you for that sacrificial role that you'll have to be a support, to be a companion, to be a prayer warrior? And I'm sure anyone tuned in knows the demands on sometimes the pastor's wife is almost even worse because of the expectation or, you know, oh, you got to assist this, you got to do the music program, you got to take care of the Sunday school curriculum and all that. So what was God preparing in your heart years ago?
I think he was preparing me to be a teacher. When I was in the third grade, I just wanted to be a teacher, and that is what carried me through high school and into college. I loved it. I taught third grade at St. Paul Lutheran in Waverly, Iowa, and I can remember putting my key into the door and thinking, wow, I'm being paid for something I loved so much. And I think all those years just waiting and wanting to do what God wanted or had in store for me is what prepared me. I never thought about being a pastor's wife that I knew of. I thought maybe I'd marry a farmer. I grew up on the farm. So, I don't know, God just did a good thing.
And I'm going to tie you back into this, Gail, because you were praying some years ago, attending an Urbana conference, and most of our listeners are familiar with the Urbana missions conferences that have been held at the University of Illinois, I think, in the 40s, and for many years up until maybe the last 8 or 10 years where they moved to St. Louis. But you attended and volunteered, you and Elmer, for a number of years, but I think it was in the 90s, or was it Urbana 90, where God did a new work in your heart, and somehow that tied into meeting up with Rodney and Melinda, right?
It did. We're volunteers almost many years, anyways, for the Urbana Mission conferences, and we were able to attend some of the talks and heard a man speak on being a sender. And that just seemed to go right to my heart. And I thought that was something I wanted to do. And I read the book, Catch the Vision 2000. And at the end of the book, it suggested that we write out our promise, a commitment to be a sender. And I did. I wrote it in a notebook, and I signed my name before the Lord that I wanted to be a sender. And amazingly, He opened doors. Then Rodney and Melinda came to our church at that time, and we got hooked up, actually, with their ministry in Ghana. And it was one of the biggest blessings of our lives.
Now, just in case somebody wasn't listening clearly, you weren't called to be a sinner, a sender.
You
know, sometimes people are like, a sinner? She's called to be a sinner? Wait a minute, no. A sender. So maybe explain what a sender is, because we're all familiar with the roles that pastors have, the roles that missionaries have, and sometimes we elevate them, but God really is calling us all to be active agents for His kingdom. And so some are called to be senders, or those that equip or finance or underwrite. So God has us all in different roles. But what does it mean to be a sender?
Well, for us, it meant financially supporting a missionary in Ghana. In fact, we support several missionaries in Ghana. And I didn't know how that would be even possible for us to have the money to afford doing something like that. But there again, the Lord just opened doors that Elmer got jobs mowing lawns, and somehow the money always came in that we needed to send them.
Yeah, you mentioning over dinner where it's like, Lord, if you provide the resources, we have the heart to support missionaries and the work that you're doing overseas or the special work you're doing, but financially, you know, we kind of have these fixed expenses, and if there's an excess, we'll dedicate it to you. And that's where I think, Elmer, you were saying over the dinner table that you've never sought after specific jobs or posted, hey, I'm available, or told people you need help. You literally felt like, okay, Lord, if you provide excess or extra monies, it's going to go towards missions. And you have held to that for many years, right?
That's right. I have. I've never asked anyone to do work for them. They've always come to me, and I really believe that it's the Lord was working through these people to do His work.
Well, some that came to my Israel celebration here, you had come a week or two earlier and did some of my yard work and trimmed some trees, and it was kind of funny. That's when I coached you, hey, come down into the studio, and we recorded a program, and that is archived at greatnewsradio.org. And I think I have a photograph of you and Beamer in the studio.
Yes.
So the Lord's put on your heart, Gail, initially to be a sender, and has used your husband, Elmer, to help with some of the resources, the financing. And so some years back, Rodney and Melinda, they came to a church, presented, and you just kind of felt, wow, this is a ministry that's reaching the unreached, kind of what Paul did on his many missionary journeys. Yeah. He wanted to go and begin new work where maybe the gospel had never been preached or proclaimed before. So hearing the other day, India, Africa, all these different countries, what was the catalyst, Rodney, that you knew where to go, where to direct your energy and efforts? Because you've graduated now at this point from, what, Bible College Seminary. You're up in Iowa, but now you're living in Nebraska. So kind of take us through, where did God plant you first? Was it in a church? Because you plant churches, you assist missionaries. So walk us through some of that narrative.
Well, we pastored in 1963. We moved to Minnesota and started pastoring churches there. In 1973, we sensed that we should go to another state and plant a church there. So we moved to Colorado, then began to plant a church there, and then we moved to Loveland, Colorado, planted one there, and then we moved to Lincoln, Nebraska, planted one there. And then later God said, well, now go to the nations that don't know me, the tribes that don't know him. And so that's where we started going to India, because I wanted to pray for a tribe.
When did that certain people group come to mind where you wanted to pray very specifically for them and then followed through? Because I want to hear some of that unique story where you raise funds to be able to go to India, because you said financially there's
right.
no way. I'm not
right.
making any money doing this church planting.
No, church planting, you don't really receive much of a salary. And we had to learn to live by faith and just trust God to provide as we minister. And then I prayed for the Banjara tribe. We went to China in 1990 to smuggle Bibles there. And we learned that every Bible you smuggle in, 100 people will read it. And that just opened our heart for other nations. So I prayed for a tribe. And it was the Banjara tribe that I heard about in India. I didn't care what nation. I just wanted to pray for a tribe.
So kind of God was preparing your heart. You just said, Lord, I don't know who I'm supposed to pray for,
right.
what people group or what nation. And somehow that came to mind. And then you knew you were called to pray very specifically for them and then to even go over to India.
Right, Mark. A pastor came to Omaha and wanted to talk to all the Lutheran pastors about missions. So he invited us. We were in Lincoln. And we came up, but we were the only ones that came. So we were with Harry and Ruth Fuller, who were retired pastors, but now starting to take mission trips. And so we heard about the Banjara, so I just said, I'm going to pray for them. But then they said, why don't you go with us? Well, I thought, how can we go to India? We don't have much of a salary. So then Melinda got an idea later, so you can tell that idea.
It was about Christmas time, and I had my hair cut, and my hairdresser said, Melinda, how would you like to do the farmer's market with me in the spring? I didn't even know that we had a farmer's market. But she told me, oh, you can do it. You bake, and you garden, and you can just take things. And so long about February, I thought, oh, I could do the farmer's market, and I could make enough for at least half a trip, and Rodney would want me back. And so that would work. I could go. And at the same time, Rodney was thinking, oh, Melinda's going to do the farmer's market, and she's going to make enough for both of us. But Rodney wasn't just idle. He went and found commercial sites to mow grass. And so he mowed grass, and I did the farmer's market. I baked sticky rolls, about 10 dozen, and about 9 tea rings and chiffon cakes and cherry and apple braids. And when I was done baking, I'd go and get flowers from the flower bed and make bouquets. And then in the evening, I'd go out into the garden and gather whatever was out there. And then in the morning, Rodney helped me load up, and down to the market I'd go. And it was a great thing. We made enough for both of us, and it supported our habit. It really helped us to take the trips. And in the meantime, we began a newsletter. We started doing a newsletter. We wrote a letter to our family, like our Christmas list, first of all, and then friends, other people that we knew. So we began doing a greater outreach that way to let people know what we were doing, and if they wanted to support us, they could.
Well, there's a whole lot more to the story. In fact, I'm going to invite you to return for the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends, because I know on that second missionary journey, God worked an incredible work in your heart. You got to witness a very unique altar call and a response to the gospel message that was shared that very night, and how God provided you some unique skills. But you put a lot of energy and effort. I think you were waking up at 4 or 5 in the morning doing all the baking and then arranging and finding flowers and working through the night, because you did your part, and then the Lord provided the blessing through people purchasing
Amen.
That and so forth. And I want to have you on tomorrow, too, to explain what is a church planner and what does that all mean, because some people may be tuning in are unfamiliar that actually people go into communities or go into areas where there needs to be a church or something established so that they can come together and worship. So we'll have you back to share a little more about that and the many different God sightings that you've experienced over this 50-plus years of serving the Lord as a pastor, as a church planner, as somebody that's assisted missionaries out in the field, that has done a lot of training, and just the many years and hours of praying for these different missionaries. The ministry is called Reaching the Unreached, and you can find out more at reachingtheunreached.org, reachingtheunreached.org, and a phone number to call. Now, this is for Nebraska, right? Lincoln,
right.
Nebraska, that's the ministry
yes.
headquarters, is area code 402-477-1506. That's area code 402-477-1506. Reaching the Unreached, a ministry that's being used of God and something that we should all be familiar with and aware of and desiring to do, reaching the unreached. And if you're one of those unreached people today, you're thinking, what are they talking about, a relationship with God? That sounds absurd. I've never heard about that before. Well, we're going to talk a little more about that tomorrow, but there are trained counselors that would love to walk you through how you can establish and have a relationship with a God who loves you, who's designed you, who has plans and purposes for your life. And you can call 1-888-NEED-HIM, 1-888-NEED-HIM, and there are trained counselors that would love to walk you through how to have a relationship with Almighty God through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a free call, and these are trained counselors that would love to talk to you about that. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. We'll have part two tomorrow, Reaching the Unreached. Thank you, Elmer and Gail Zules, for being a part of today's edition of Mark and Friends. Thank you, Rodney and Melinda Heinrichs, for being available. And I know we'll be sending you off towards Iowa, and then I think you return to Nebraska Tuesday night or something. So thanks for being available for this edition of Mark and Friends.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.